The House Armed Services Committee is busy at work on the 2016 National Defense Authorization Bill. In a 700-page report accompanying the bill, the committee is asking for a list of reports. Joining us with what the committee wants and what the major policy provisions in that bill might be is Bloomberg News reporter Tony Capasio. Tony, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Tom.
All right, so let's talk about the bill itself for just a moment. I guess it's longer than the 700-page report. What is the status of the bill right now? Where does it stand legislatively?
It stands legislatively to start hitting the floor next week. The committee marked up very quickly, actually, compared to past years under Mac Thornberry's leadership, so I have to give him some credit for that, but it hits the floor next week. It's obviously the first act of a minuet, circus, or whatever analogy you want to use, because the Senate Armed Services Committee, its counterpart on the Senate side, starts its subcommittee markups on Monday with the Air Land Subcommittee that handles airplanes and tanks and armored vehicles. The full committee on the SASC will, I think it's Wednesday or Thursday, will finish its work, and then there should be a press release laying out its agenda Thursday night and into Friday. So by the end of next week, we'll have a good bookend of where the defense policy authorization legislation stands.
All right, and what about the threats of filibuster that are surrounding seemingly every important bill right now?
Well, this has more threat of veto than filibuster. Secretary Carter a couple days ago, or actually yesterday, said this is a bill to nowhere, basically. He was carrying the administration's water in terms of the fact that it basically comes up with a deal that pushes about $40 billion of war spending into the bill. It doesn't do anything for domestic spending overall. It doesn't get at the deficit issues that the administration wants, and it could likely be vetoed in its current form.
All right, let's talk about, we'll have to wait and see, I guess, what actually comes out of the conference there. But this 700-page report accompanying the bill that you've written about, the committee on the House side is asking for lots of homework assignments from different parts of the government, including the GAO. What sort of information do they need, and how does that report, how will that fold into what goes into the bill?
Well, this is the report language that oftentimes gets knocked out in conference. So we'll have to wait till the final report. But there's some tantalizing little items in there. There's a one-paragraph directive that says 3 months after the bill becomes law, the Pentagon has to submit to the Congress a report on all the military capabilities the U.S. needs to attack Iran's military a nuclear program if, in fact, the negotiations between the White House and Iran fail. It's one paragraph, but it's very tantalizing in terms of what they demand and the time frame in which they demand it.
That's like having one little LSD pill buried in the aspirin bottle.
I hope a lot of your viewers know what LSD is, but that's fine. Yeah, that's a good analogy, actually. But I found that tantalizing, and it was one paragraph. There's other homework assignments, as you put it, for the Government Accountability Office to do a report on the still very secret long-range strike bomber that could consume billions of dollars. And they asked for an unclassified summary along with a classified report. So that's showing a little bit of oversight interest. They also cut $460 million from the request for the bomber. The bomber winner will be picked in the next month or two. It's teams between Northrop and Boeing and Lockheed. So there's a lot of interest in that.
So at this point, the bomber is nothing more than sketches, right? There's nothing tangible. It's just, I guess, they're going to pick which contractor they think's ideas are likely to lead to something they can buy and build.
Tom, we don't know. This thing is as black as the night without stars. They just won't give much detail about it. I got to assume that there's been preliminary work done on it.
All right, so we know it flies about that. That's about all we can say at this point, I guess.
Yes, it flies and it'll be stealthy.
Someday we'll fly. But all right, and also from the sky to the beneath the waves, it looks like they want a lot of money about something that has been ongoing, and that's the Ohio-class replacement nuclear submarine.
This is to replace 14 current Ohio-class boomers that launch nuclear missiles with 12 SSBNXs. This is a long acronym with a big bill. The committee pegs it at $95 billion total, which is the first time I've seen an authoritative estimate, to tell you the truth. But what they want to do is they've taken on the Navy's argument that someone else should pay for it, basically. Because if the Navy had to pay for it, it would bankrupt Navy shipbuilding for conventional vessels and the Virginia-class submarine. So this committee is top-heavy with submarine supporters. Last year, they came up with a sea-based nuclear deterrence fund, and it didn't have much detail. Now, this year, they're directing that the Pentagon shift $1.4 billion into this fund for 2016. We're going to see whether the Senate goes along with this, because I think John McCain, the chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee, is more skeptical.
All right, so then GAO, though, has the assignment to assess this whole program, the whole Ohio
yes.
class. I mean, does GAO have the wherewithal to look at something this massive?
Oh, sure they do. They've had a history of looking at big programs. When I first started covering defense, they were doing annual reports on the B-2 bomber, which is pretty massive. They've been doing annual reports on the F-35, the Pentagon's largest program. They've done past annual reports on the F-22 plane. So, yeah, they have the resources for this.
All right. We're speaking with Tony Capasio. He's a reporter for Bloomberg News. And one other report you mentioned in this your recent story is the industrial base question regarding the cruise missiles.
Yeah, that was an interesting one. It's called the missile's called the JSOW, Joint Standoff Weapon. And the Navy terminated a new version of it that has improved data links. I don't want to get too geeky with you on it. But the committee, this was interesting, they identified $2 billion in future foreign military sales for Raytheon. And they wanted to make sure that the Navy had enough work going on for Raytheon, peace work, to allow for an industrial base to exist that could build missiles for foreign military sales. So they asked for an industrial-based study and a briefing on that fairly soon after the bill becomes law. Clearly a bone to Raytheon, but makes sense if they got $2 billion in foreign military sales coming up and the Navy terminates the one version that would be sold.
Somehow I get the feeling that if all these billions of dollars in foreign military sales came in, Raytheon would find a way to get them built.
Yeah, they're pretty good with congressional liaison, actually. And tell you the truth, McCain represents Raytheon to a point because they've got a huge plant in Tucson where their missiles division is, where they make Tomahawk missiles. And I think the JSOW is made there, too.
All right. So what I wanted to get back to one point you mentioned just a moment ago, and that is the Navy would like somebody else to pay for those submarines. I meant to follow up on that. Mm-hmm. If not the Navy, who would pay for it? The Army?
It would be Army, Air Force, OSD, O&M funds that are used defense-wide. I think, though, that Congress, in the end, would force the Navy to pony up some dollars from other accounts, other research accounts. But the Navy's been making this argument for the last 2 years, and it's fallen on supportive ears, at least in the House. And the Senate went along with it last year, otherwise it wouldn't have become law. But I think now that the years are getting closer to when they really has to start pumping in billions of dollars for the program, I think McCain and that subcommittee are going to be a little bit more skeptical.
Now, on the policy side, you know, last year the Defense Authorization Bill had federal IT acquisition as a major kind of amendment to it. Mm-hmm. And going forward, it looks like Mac Thornberry has put a legislatively mandated new approach to more agile systems for buying weapons in a separate bill. So do we know of any major policy provisions that might be coming riding in on this 2016 bill when it finally clears in some manner?
My impression that this is the first number of incremental changes he wants to make over a six-year horizon. Probably the most significant to some of your listeners, excuse me.
We have both.
Okay, that's true, you do have readers. Is the waiving of something like 400 reports that Congress has larded on for good intentions, I might add, over the years, but larded on to the acquisition process. A lot of these reports that your viewers and readers have to deal with were born of intentions to increase oversight by forcing accountability. Each of these reports has to go through a chain, and that in itself is oversight. The problem is they can make the argument a lot of these go unread. So that's one of the initiatives. And he wants to also empower program managers to make more unilateral decisions on their specific projects instead of having to go up and down a massive chain to get approval. And a lot of those initiatives, a lot of that initiative had been stifled over the last decade because of various procurement scandals and the need to give program to tighten oversight on program managers. But he wants to empower program managers. This is Thornberry.
All right, and a final question. What is the status of the F-35 within all of this, which, as you mentioned, is the military's biggest program, potentially?
Right, at $391.2 billion, I think it is the latest figure.
Maybe
this
could be some submarines in there if the Navy's looking at it.
Could be some. Well, they hope that the program's not submarined. The HASC added money for 7 additional fighters for the Marine Corps version. The Marines have been pushing that for the last few years because they lost 6 or 7 planes in Afghanistan from a Taliban attack, AV-8 Harriers, so they want to replace them with F-35. The committee is very supportive of the F-35, even though it's got some problems with its onboard diagnostic system that they asked GAO to look at. This is the first big ramp-up from 34 last year to 57 this year, and it's good. The ramp-ups are going to continue. So the plane, for all the problems it's had and still has challenges, has got a lot of support from this committee.
All right. Tony Capasio is a reporter for Bloomberg News. Thanks so much for joining us with that update.
Okay, sir. I hope that covers the waterfront for you. Have a good day.